Mr. Whiting, rail two.
Yes. Well, the Warsaw Ghetto was not yet organized. That means the area was not enclosed. But what I remember, when I was already in prison, the prison was in the Jewish quarter in Warsaw. And I was in that Warsaw prison for over 2 months, 2.5 months. And during that time, I have witnessed that there were groups of Jews being brought into the prison, and they were shipped somewhere outside the town. Yet the ghetto was still not enclosed. The ghetto was enclosed. It was enclosing the old Jewish quarter in the town, but Jews were still living without being enclosed in my time. But also, what I have seen, before arrest, I was never a witness to any situation that was particularly to do with Jews. But in the prison, I have seen on many occasions through the window in the prison courtyard, the German guard were training the police dogs on Jews by letting them on the human being, which were Jews, and also, they were injured by the dogs. Also, once I have seen a German guard droning a Jew in a hydrant. You know what hydrant is?
A reservoir.
No, it was a tap in the ground for fire. What do you call this?
Fire hoses.
Fire connection. And there was a little enclosure there, and it can be filled with water. So this Jew was being pushed down and drawn there.
Coming back to the German occupation, were the Germans in 39-42 trying to win over the Poles, or did they not bother?
Well, I don't think they were. They have printed a newspaper in Polish. I don't know whether you can call it a trying to win the population. It was full of propaganda and not particularly with the view of winning the polls. I think they were never attempted to do that. Sometimes we had a contact with German soldiers from the army, especially before when they were assembling before the attacking the Soviet Union. That was still in 1941. Yes. So it was suddenly Warsaw was full of German troops, and they were stationed in all possible places, and one of the places was the school that we had the flat next to it. So the schoolyard was full of soldiers and so on. So sometimes they were the army, the army units, not the SS or Gestapo, and they sometimes try to say, for instance, aren't you glad that we will clear Jews from Poland? They were trying to start a conversation like that. On the occasion of, I mean, I remember one soldier came to ask to get a needle and thread to sew his button on. And on that occasion, he was trying to engage in such a conversation. But otherwise, of course, they have wired loudspeakers in the streets to broadcast what was normally would be radio news. So they were broadcasting over the loudspeakers in the streets, because radio was they have collected all radios from the population. Radio was not allowed. But it was not, it was just news of German progress in the war. It was nothing to do with winning the population.
Did you personally ever have access to outside broadcasts?
Well, being in the underground organization, we had underground newspapers in small format, A5 or so. There were regular bulletins. These news were, of course, derived from the Allied radio, BBC broadcasts. So we have, yes, we have regular news of that sort.
Did you, in these early stages of the war, ever despair about how the war would end?
I never despair, or nobody of my colleagues despaired in that way. I think that the population on the whole was full of hope, although we have at first expected France to come into the war at the very beginning, and when they didn't, and then in a year's time Paris fell, of course it was a difficult situation, but the popular saying was let's wait until the spring and everything will be all right then. And that was from one spring to another. But I don't think that I met anybody who ever doubted on the ultimate outcome.
Why?
No reason. I think Poles are always full of hope, even foolish hope sometimes.
You said your father was arrested.
Yes.
What was his work in the underground?
He was, I don't think he was in the underground. Even within the family, we did not talk about what each one of us did. My parents did not know what I did, although they knew I was engaged in something, because of meetings were held in private houses. But of course there were two kinds of meetings, and that one was the school. schooling. On that, so what sort of meetings we had, we never discussed, even within the family. But my father, being a teacher, head teacher, what I believe has happened, somebody must have denounced him that in his school there is still old manuals are being used on Polish history and geography, which was forbidden. And that was the reason for his arrest.
Was there much collaboration with the Germans from Polish people?
Well, there was, of course, always the problem of some of them declared that was the Germans were seeking seeking some people to categorize them in of some ancient German origin or a recent German origin. That means they were either Urdeutsch or Volksdeutsch or Reichsdeutsch. There were three categories, and some people did declare themselves to be Volksdeutsch. Of course, you might say then they were collaborators.
Did you personally know of any such people?
Well, I have heard of some, which the families of some of my previous school colleagues, but I have never been in touch with them during the war.
Now, you said your arrest and your father's occurred in July 1942.
That's right.
Can you describe the scene when you were arrested?
Yes. Two uniformed officials came into our house very early in the morning, at 5 o'clock, I think, and walking up us and. And that was that. They have searched the flat, and unfortunately they found in my possession this clandestine newspaper. Otherwise they didn't find anything else. I think that they did not expect to arrest me in particular, but because I was of that age, of 17 or 18 at that time, then it was just the age they were interested in to neutralize. What sort of people they were, I am not sure. I think they were as the Sicherheitsdienst. And so they came by private car, and there was a driver there. So in total, there was my father, me, and two of them, and the driver. And they have taken us directly into the prison.
Which prison?
In Warsaw. That was the name of the prison, is Pawiak. That is a colloquial name because it was in Pawia Street. That's why it's called Pawiak. It was a prison for political prisoners only.
What was it like, this place?
Well, it was overcrowded, of course, to start with. That means, first of all, well, I was separated from my father during the stay in the prison. Was prevented of communicating with a different cell. First of all, it was the first couple of weeks or 3 weeks. I was in the basement, and in the basement cells, which were pre-war single cells, there was only one bed there. There were seven of us, so we could hardly find space to lay down for the night. Later on, after the couple of weeks, I was transferred to the second floor, and then in that cell it was, I think, six beds or so, and so some of us, six of them, were laying on the beds and the rest on the floor, which was several more, so I suppose it was about 10 in that cell, which was not all that bad in comparison with the first few weeks in the basement. Of course, food was very bad. The ration of bread was on the what you could eat for breakfast, and then there was a midday meal which consisted of very watery soup, and that was all. So in that 2 months and a half, I have lost about 6 stone.
How much did you weigh originally?
About 11 stone, I think.
How soon were you interrogated?
I was interrogated when still in the basement, that means in the first few weeks, perhaps in the second week or so.
They left you all that time without interrogation?
Oh yes, yes, because the interrogation was not done in the prison. It was done in the Gestapo headquarters, which was quite a distance away.
Did you have any incriminating evidence on you?
Well, I had that clandestine newspaper, and they wanted explanation of that.
Any false papers?
No, no. I didn't have any such things. No.
So what happened at the interrogation?
I was only interrogated once. One day. Well, the routine was that we were taken from the prison in a van, army van, and then that means a number of prisoners. And of course, then the interrogation was one at a time, so we had to wait for our turn. There was a basement compartment or area where they had built cells for waiting. So we had to wait there without in total silence, without communicating to each other, even that we have sat next to each other. If anybody turned, it was with the facing the wall. That means with the back to the passage where the guard was watching. If anybody turned ahead or tried to whisper to his friend, he was punished by what they called gymnastics, which was squatting and getting up 100 times. After that, you could hardly walk. So that was the waiting there. Then, when your turn came for the interrogation, somebody came from upstairs and taken you upstairs, and that was in civilian clothes. Two people were interrogating me in their room, and of course they wanted to know where I got this newspaper and my contacts and so on. So I have told them a simple story about it by saying that at that time I was attending a technical school which was allowed. And I said that somebody was waiting when we were getting out after the school and tried to recruit me for the underground and given me this newspaper. And I never saw him before, never saw him again. And that was my story. So, for whatever questions I was always answering, I don't know. I was unable to say. I was, of course, beaten by police truncheon, to tell the truth. But after that session, they wrote the protocol of this interrogation, and I signed it, and that was all.
Who were these people who were carrying out the interrogation?
Well, they didn't say, but they were in civilian clothes, so I would have assumed they were Gestapo.
What was in the protocol?
It was reflected all I had said. There was nothing apart from that. They read this to me. They asked me whether I understand German sufficiently. It was what I had said, more or less, without any additions.
But the interrogation was in Polish?
No.
In German?
In German. They have asked me whether I belong to Scouts, and I said yes, before the war. They also said, is my name German? I said, I'm not aware of it. So that was only such thing. So I remember these points.
How badly were you hurt?
Well, I was couldn't sit afterwards. But also, what was unpleasant was that they were trying for some reason. I was always afraid of being crippled by it in some way. They had not only used this truncheon on my back, but also on here, which...
Where your shoulder joins your neck.
That's right. Which was giving me, nerves were affected, you know. Whether they were trying to cripple me, I'm not sure.
So then what happened?
Well, after that, after signing that, I was back in prison. And never again I was interrogated. Of course, I was not notified what was the outcome of this, or any sentence, or whatever. And after many more weeks, I was sent to Auschwitz. That was all.
In the prison, were you able to converse with the other prisoners?
Inside the cell, yes. But not with any other. We were let out of the cells once a day to the toilet, but only one cell at a time. The soup was always brought to the door, so it was not going for meals. The meals were in the cell. It so happened that the routine was that the guard officer was always checking the numbers once a day. So everybody had to stand to attention, and one of the prisoners in the cell had to report to him. And it so happened that I was always chosen to do that function, even in the basement, in the first day. For some reason, the others wanted me to do it. And also upstairs in that cell, I was doing that. I could say these few words in German. And there was no consequence of that. Even at one stage, one of the prisoners in our cell was a mental, whether he was faking it or whether it was true, I am not sure. But he was always pretending or hearing voices. It was. And at one occasion, when this reporting time came, he didn't get up from bed. And this German officer didn't know how to tackle this situation. So he shouted at him. In the end, he took out the gun and shot him in the leg. So they took him to the hospital, but that was all. I didn't. Nobody else suffered for it.
Did you learn very much from the other prisoners in Pavlyuk about them?